Well, there's a petition. There's been a public meeting. There's probably a Facebook page. People are up in arms, and they're up in arms about the accommodation provider's targeted rate, which has been set by Auckland Council. It's been around for a while, but it's about to take force for people who got private providers of accommodation, online providers and so forth. And there is a group started here on the island in opposition to that rate. It's the Waiheke Accommodation Providers Group, and Ed Coots is one of the spokespeople for that group. He runs Waiheke Unlimited, and he's here with us this morning. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Chris.
So let's go back, because I mean there's some kind of history to this thing. So the accommodation provider's targeted rate has been around for a while, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. In more of a form of a bed tax. It was brought in some years ago for the holiday for the hotel and motel industry. Their attitude was that it was unfair that private holiday home accommodation didn't get hit with the same sort of tax as the hotels and motels. So they lobbied council with regard to a change. That took various forms. A bed tax was looked at, being a specific bed tax. But council was unable to introduce that, so they went round the corner and brought in this thing called an APTR, which has the effect of increasing rates depending on the number of nights that a property is booked, and it also has a targeted rate component based on, again, the number of nights that are booked.
So the change that's coming into force now is that there's a new range of properties where this rate will apply. So it's applied for, as you say, motels and hotels. Now it's people, you know, the kind of properties that you're managing through your business, for example, will now be liable for this as well.
That's correct. They'd be liable depending, again, on the number of nights. So up until 28 nights, there is no effect on either the APTR or going into a commercial rate. After the 28 nights, it goes through to 135 nights, which is a different percentage rate, but does attract both the APTR and the commercial rate. So it depends on how many nights you're booking. The difficulty that we have with that is that if holiday homeowners were to be kept 28 nights, it would stand to reason that those 28 nights would be over the peak period where they can get their most return. Therefore, we're looking at a situation of accommodation being available specifically over the Christmas, early January period, which is a time that we're already all booked out anyway, so that'll make no difference, and virtually no accommodation available after that or pre that. So that cuts out the weddings, the events, and other times of the year. So it becomes quite difficult. It becomes very difficult for businesses to try and run a business on 28 days. And if you look at the add-on effect of this with regard to just things like cleaners, how can a cleaning company operate on 28 days?
Okay, so but these people, as you say, are running businesses. They're
correct.
Running accommodation businesses. So therefore, why shouldn't they pay rates as another business would? You know, if you've got the Midway Motel, you're paying business rates. If you've got a beachfront property, why shouldn't you be paying business rates also?
Well, there's certainly a good argument for that. But you've also got to look at the fact that if you rented your house permanently, which is making money, there is no GST, there is no tax on either the commercial rating of the property or a bed tax. So there's an inequality just on that bit alone. What we're saying is that traditionally a holiday home rent comes up because somebody owns a property, they want to use it during various times of the year for themselves, family and friends, but they also want it to cover its face with regard to rates and maintenance. So they're not in business to make money, they're in business to cover some of their costs.
Well, yeah, I mean, I suppose what we have on the island is a wide range of properties, don't we? You know, so
yes.
there certainly are, you know, the mom and pop operators, you know, if we use that terminology, but there are also, you know, a number of businesses, yours included,
yep,
that are very much about properties that are more or less exclusively available for accommodation, and often at pretty hefty price tags as well.
Yep, indeed. And both my company and the members of WOPS, and actually the tourism industry, accommodation tourism industry in general, are not opposed to a bed tax. But it needs to be on a national basis and not an individual council basis, so that we actually have clarity throughout New Zealand. If you're looking at punting, at a punter from overseas, looking, is he paying higher rate in Wellington, higher rate on Waiheke? And when it comes to pricing a nightly rate for a property, if you've got the sliding scale, you actually don't know what that rate should be for the next year. So right now we've got forward bookings, which are at the old rate and not taking into consideration the APTR. So in fact, those owners will be losing money on those forward bookings.
Well, will they? I mean, when we're looking at the new rate, yep. So I mean, obviously, you know, it's a new cost. It's a cost that people haven't borne before.
Yes.
But how much of a new cost is it? You know, what are we actually talking about in monetary terms here? Now, obviously, it varies from property to property.
It certainly varies from property to property, but you can look at a situation of, I mean, we've got various examples, but we have two properties, side by side, beachfront, one an older property. Well, in fact, they're both about the same age, but one has actually been done up. They're both renters. The lower classed one, if you like, doesn't do many nights rent, and it has a lower nightly rental rate. The one next door to it, being done up, has a much higher nightly rate, and therefore its revenue is significantly higher. However, in this APTR exercise, both of those houses are rated at exactly the same amount. So the lower classed one actually loses money, and the other one breaks even and makes a little bit of money, maybe. So there's an inequality there in exactly the same type of property next door to one another. One pays 16,000 and earns maybe 6,000. The other one pays 16,000, maybe earns 25,000. So there's no equality in that.
But I suppose, as you say, if one of the factors of those properties is that one gets rented more than the other, there is a differential there to manage that in the way the rate's set.
Yes, there is. But if you're looking at a low rent property and you're looking at 28 nights or under 28 nights, that probably is not sufficient to cover the costs.
So I'll come back to that. But I mean, one of the other concerns that you've raised is around consultation on this.
Yes.
So and you know, you've said there hasn't been appropriate consultation. So how so?
Well, certainly, council went out to the hotel, retirement home industry. They didn't consult with operators of holiday management companies, and they didn't consult with specific homeowners in general. So what you in fact had was a letter that had been sent to homeowners by the end of June, but in fact, the day that that letter was dated was the day before the actual meeting had been sanctioned at council.
But it was consulted on as part of the budget.
There was a consultation, yes, as part of the budget, and initially the authorities went back to councillors and suggested that there would be some 20-odd thousand accommodation outlets in Auckland that would be liable to pay an APTR. They then highlighted some 1,700 properties that were immediately targetable. Of those, the next figure dropped down to 971 that they actually had contacted. Of those 971, 741, 241 were already paying 100%. So it meant that really they only came down to 500 properties out of the 20-odd thousand they were originally talking about. So again, when you look at what the concept was to get revenue out of the accommodation industry in order to fund ATEED's spend or ATEED's budget. So when you're looking at 20-odd thousand houses splitting that cost, it's not so bad. But when you come down to 500-odd houses, it's totally unproportionate. And of those 500, you're looking at about 300 of them specifically on Waiheke. So Waiheke was really targeted.
Yes, but I mean, it's not like they took a set amount and then split that across those houses. I mean, the rate's been set, and I imagine that as it becomes embedded, you know, it will be, the ability of council to identify where they should be applying that rate will become more nuanced, and you know,
well, you would
properties
hope so.
Will start to come into the fold.
But the concept behind this was that 50% of ATEED's funding would be funded this year by the accommodation targeted rate. Well, they're going to be a long way short of that.
So is there an issue with having the people who benefit from ATEED funding pay for ATEED?
No, I don't think that there is. It's questionable as to just how much ATEED does to support tourism. It certainly would be supporting day trippers to Waiheke. There would be a certain content in that because of cruise ships, etc. But Waiheke really doesn't need any more day trippers. They don't have a big individual spend on the island, and the infrastructure, as we all know, gets blocked up, waiting to get on a fuller's boat. You know, there's queues of people miss boats. So we're not trying to drive a short-term market. We're trying to drive a market where people come and appreciate Waiheke for a night, two nights, three nights, or more.
Have there been people who've said, we're getting out of this game?
Yes, there have been several, and more put their hands up. And at our meeting at the Mora Hall the other evening, the question was asked of the audience, how many people are pulling out? And although I don't have a hand count, there were a serious number of people put their hand up and said they were getting out of the business.
How much of that is, you know, because it will make it unviable? How much of it do you think might be that people at the moment don't understand the new system? You know, like, for example, someone who's got their studio down the back of the property, you know, and they're renting it out, and they might be doing, as you say, kind of Christmas, New Year's, long weekends, the 28-day thing. I mean, there seems to be quite a bit of misunderstanding that people believe their whole property is going to be rated at that higher rate.
Well, indeed. And in fact, we've seen situations where rates have gone through based on the whole property, and they've been quite outrageous. I mean, we've seen prices go from 6,000 to 16,000. However, those owners have the option of having their properties re-rated, revalued, and looked at. Now, several have that I'm aware of have already done that. Some have won, and others have not won. So it just depends on how you put it together.
And there must be some argument as well, I suppose, that for some of those properties that say are the ones, you know, that are coming off the accommodation market, that some of those will go into the long-term rental market, which probably for Waiheke is a good thing.
Well, it is a good thing, but there, here we go again. You know, right now on Waiheke we have this issue where long-term renters tend to be thrown out before the summer and come back in after the summer. If we've got a 28-night and people have been renting, potentially they are going to be pulling their long-term tenants out pre-Christmas, renting it for the 28 days, and taking them back off the market again and maybe back into permanent.
But they do that already.
And yeah, but this would be more, significantly more than we've got at the moment. And you've got to come back to the nature of what a holiday house is. That is, the majority of them are not investment properties where they're looking at renting them from a commercial point of view. They are holiday homes that they want to come and enjoy, hang out with the kids, and spend some time. They obviously aren't going to be here 12 months of the year, but they do like the opportunity of popping over when the place is available. So if you've got permanent renter, two things. It's harder on the property, and it precludes the use of the owner using the property at any time.
Mm. So where do you go from here? I mean, you've got your petition, but I mean, this thing's been through the budget consultation process. Council's approved it. They've implemented it. You know, where do you go from here?
Well, we've got the petition was read in Parliament about 3 weeks ago, 28th of September, and that comes up for a hearing this week, Wednesday, for a select committee. And we don't know what the outcome of that will be yet, but we would like to. We would certainly like to think that there will be a review asked for by that select committee, and that review should be asked of council as to how they came about this, and that should also allow WOPS to be able to put a further submission in as to a potential fix for this problem.
So given that any solution is likely to be, again, at the level of local government, you know, and I suppose it's local government that are making decisions around, you know, what their needs are in their particular area, what do you believe would be a better way to do? You mentioned before, you know, there should be a national tax, but I mean, that's not going to happen, is it?
So, well, I'm not so sure that it isn't going to happen, and this is really where our fight is going now. When I started this, I started the petition based on somewhat of a knee-jerk reaction that there were four regions that were exempt from the APTR, one not being Waiheke. So when you look at those areas of Franklin, Rodney, Waitakere, and Great Barrier, the argument was that they didn't have hotels or motels, and they didn't enjoy any of the ATEED spend, whereas they're saying that Waiheke does. It was only about 18 months ago that the local board wrote to ATEED and asked them not to support us anymore and that we didn't need their funding. So we've already put our hand up that we don't want to be part of ATEED. Now, if you take it a little bit further on investigation, Great Barrier's had some 30-odd thousand spent by ATEED on its dark night sky. If you look at the Franklin area, ATEED has spent millions resurfacing Pukekohe, and it's putting millions into the supercar. So, but it's getting no return from any accommodation tax. So it's very hard for me to understand that ATEED is spending money in areas and then saying they're exempt because they're not spending money, whereas when we look at Waiheke, we look at so far $50,000 we've seen spent on Waiheke from ATEED, which is pretty much supporting the information centre kiosk down at Mateatea, not much more. So it's in proportionate again. We're spending lots of money in areas that don't have the APTR or ATEED is, but it's not supporting Waiheke to the same degree, but we are paying APTR.
So do you believe that there should be a tax or a rate which is directly proportionate to the income of the property?
I think that there should be. What we should be doing is what happens in most other countries around the world. There is a line charge on a booking for a punter called a bed tax, and that can be a percentage of whatever that particular country wants. But let's say it was 3%. Let's say that all accommodation providers in New Zealand were to register as accommodation providers. The government then has a list of all those people, can monitor those people, and there should be a nightly percent or a rate charged on the nightly rate. So if you do 300 nights a year, you're obviously going to pay more. If you pay 10 nights a year,
but doesn't that act disproportionately in the same way as your concern around the current rate? You know, so for example, you know, I had a quick look this morning to see what I could get next weekend.
Yeah.
You know, if I was going to visit the island. Now, you've got properties listed there that are $14,000 for the weekend.
Yep.
You've got other properties that are listed that are, you know, $1,200 for the weekend. So if you're applying that set rate across there, isn't that the same disproportionate impact for those lower rental properties that you were concerned?
Not really, because if you're talking about a 200 night property at 3%, you've got $60. If you're talking about a $1,000 property, 3%, you get $300. So the one with the big property is paying more. The one with the little property is paying less. But more importantly, instead of getting revenue out of, let's say, 500 or 600 houses that Auckland Council suddenly earmarked as paying, you would have thousands of accommodation providers from the top of the country to the bottom all contributing to a fund. That fund would be much bigger than any APTR, and it is directly and specifically pointed towards accommodation and the bed. So it makes sense, and that's how it's done overseas. If you're really looking, let's go back a bit, a true targeted rate is brought into a community to offer them a benefit. And there's examples of that in the past in rural areas where farmers have got together, there's been a targeted rate put on them to eradicate possums or rats. So they've got a benefit out of that money that they're paying. Waiheke right now is paying a targeted rate, but what is the benefit? We're not getting the benefit. So it's not a true targeted rate. Whereas a bed tax, if we were looking at that, would be a true targeted rate that you could put your finger on and know where the revenue is going. Ideally, it would be nice to see some of that money coming back to the areas that actually put the money in to start with. And that's another argument that we've got, that even if we are sending 80, 200, 300, 400,000 a year under the proposed current ABTR, how much of that are we going to see back? The chances are very little.
So just to finish up, so you've got your petition, you're saying that, you know, that will go to Parliament. Out of that, I mean, are we really just at the next steps, more submissions to the next plan for Council?
Two things here. One, my petition was purely to change Waiheke from Zone B to Zone C, therefore making it exempt from APTR, but not the commercial rate. That's what the petition was for, that's what I'm fighting for, that's what the hearing in Parliament will be. But it will be a first step that if we can get that through the door, then we can open it to the bigger picture of a national tax and removing this Auckland APTR and looking at a true line charge for accommodation rate.
All right, thank you very much. This is Ed Coates from Waiheke Unlimited and the Waiheke Accommodation Providers, opposing the accommodation... Accommodation Providers Targeted Rate. Yeah, so, hey, thanks very much for coming in, Ed.
Thanks, Chris.
Yep. And you're listening to Island Life on Waiheke Radio.